In the gospel reading tonight, we hear this very well-known story about our Lord asking St. Peter if he loves him. Now, lots has been made over the years about this, how on one hand, since Peter had denied our Lord three times, now three times he had to be able to acknowledge that he loved him. There's also the point that there are two different words that are being used here. In English, we only have one word for love. The Greeks have four. There are two different ones that are used. So Peter, Jesus first asked Peter, do you love me with agape, the highest kind of love, the kind of love with which God loves us, self-sacrificing love? And Peter answers, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. You know that I love you with philos love, the love of a friend. Jesus asks him a second time, do you love me with agape love? And Peter again answers, you know that I love you with philos. I'm your friend. Jesus the third time then says, Peter, do you love me as a friend? Do you love me with philos love? Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with philos love. But then Jesus says something interesting to Peter. He says, okay, right now this is where you're at, but the day is going to come when this is what's going to happen. And St. John says he tells them this because this is the way that Peter is going to glorify God by his death. The day would come when Peter would be able to love God with agape love, that he would be able to love God in a selfless manner, that he would be able to love the way that our Lord loves us. Now this becomes critical for us because we have to ask the simple question, do I love Jesus? We believe in him. There's no problem with that. Do we love him? That's the heart of the matter. We could look at what Peter did. Remember, he's the one who first proclaimed, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God, you are the one to come into the world. We also know that it was Peter who did all kinds of things. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When Jesus asked, do you want to leave me? Peter wouldn't do it. He believed in Jesus. But the question is, Peter, do you love me? The belief had to come first. We can't truly love Jesus unless we know who he is. That's true with anybody. There are people who think that they're in love with some movie star or some goofball thing. They don't even know who the person is. They're not truly loving the person. They can't truly love the person. They can like them. They can appreciate what they do, but they can't truly love the individual because they don't even know them. So do we know Jesus? Do we believe in Jesus? Do we love Jesus? Yes. Well, we got one. Praise the Lord. So now each one of us maybe doesn't have to answer out loud, but in your heart, ask yourself that question honestly. Do I love Jesus? Because if we don't, we're not going to live our lives for him. We're not going to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for him. And why would we want to spend eternity with him if we don't love him? It would make no sense. We want to be with the people that we love. And if we don't love the Lord, we're not going to want to be with him. And remember, as we pointed out many times, Satan knows who Jesus is. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of God. The devil knows that he was born of the Virgin Mary. The devil knows that he's both God and man. The devil knows he's the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. So praise God, we can say all of those things, but that's not enough. It's a great start. But Satan couldn't love God. He said no. He said, I will not serve. If we love someone, we're going to serve them. So even though Satan knew the truth, he wouldn't take the next step. You know the truth. It's going to come out of your mouth in just a few minutes. We're all going to stand and profess our faith. You wouldn't be here right now if you didn't believe. So the critical question again, do you love Jesus? Not, well, I guess he's all right. No, that's not sufficient. Do we love him? How much time do we spend with him? And if you're in love with somebody, you want to spend all kinds of time with that person. So how much time do we spend with Jesus every day? It saddens me when I hear from church after church that has an adoration chapel that they're having to beg people to come to pray. We don't have enough love for Jesus to spend any time with him before the Blessed Sacrament. So we want to say we love him, but we don't want to be with him. We don't want to talk to him. We don't want to spend time with him. Do we really love him? Or are we just kidding ourselves? These are hard questions, I understand. But we have to recognize that they are going to have eternal consequences. And whether we want to love him or not, we listen in the second reading, and listen again to what it says. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, everything in the universe, said to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor, glory and might forever and ever. So whether a soul is in hell or whether they are in heaven, they're going to have to glorify God. They're going to have to glorify Jesus. That's not going to be an option. It's going to be miserable for the souls in hell. They're going to hate every bit of it because they've rejected him, because they don't love him, and they still have to glorify him. But if we go to heaven, that's going to be our glory. To be able to love him and glorify him for eternity, why would we want to do anything other? That's the greatest thing. And so we have to remember, what is it that we're going to be glorifying him for? Well, certainly for dying for us, for rising from the dead. But guess what we're going to do right here today? It's the death and resurrection of our Lord. That's what Mass is. So you read the book of Revelation, and what is eternity? It's Mass. It's going to be glorifying God for the gift of himself. And we have that gift in the Holy Eucharist. So again, you even look at the context of what we heard in the gospel today. We have the bread and the fish. We might think, so what? Well, go back to the beginning of the sixth chapter of St. John's gospel. That's the chapter about the Eucharist. And how does it start? The multiplication of the bread and the fish. It is that our Lord then uses to talk about the Eucharist, how he is the bread of life, how unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us, that the bread that he will give is his flesh for the life of the world. It is also in that chapter, at the end of that chapter, where we recognize why Judas betrayed Jesus. It tells us right in there. Because he didn't believe in the Eucharist. He couldn't accept what Jesus was teaching. So his wider body of apostles or of his disciples all wandered away. They said, oh, this is hard to listen to. Who can endure it? That's when Jesus looked at his 12 and said, do you want to leave me too? It was all because of the Eucharist. And now he gives himself to his apostles. Once again, it's bread and it's fish to remind them of what it was that he taught. And then looks at Peter and says, do you love me? So we have our blessed Lord giving himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. And you know what he does when you receive him? He says, I love you. I'm giving myself to you. I'm holding nothing back from you because I'm in love with you. And then he looks at us and says, do you love me? Love is a relationship. Love is a two-way street. We have to receive the love and we have to give the love. So look at the transformation that happened in St. Peter. We have him in the garden. Well, not quite at the garden. Well, he ran away in the garden, but then we have him at the high priest's house. And he denies Jesus 3 times. Now we hear about the fact that our Lord appears. Peter clearly wasn't quite sure. Can't blame them at all about this. Okay, the Lord's risen from the dead. What's that going to mean? You know, we look at Peter going, I'm going fishing. I can't deal with this. I just need to go fishing. But then our Lord appears. Once they realize who it is, Peter's willing to jump in the water and go to our Lord. But we see the transformation, especially in the first reading. They're dragged before the Sanhedrin. They're flogged for teaching about Jesus. And they walk away rejoicing because they were found worthy to suffer on behalf of our Lord. Now Peter loved him. It wasn't just words. It wasn't just saying, yeah, I'm your friend. Yeah, he was his friend in the high priest's courtyard when he denied him. That wasn't enough. We need to have a deeper love than just being a friend. The Lord wants us to truly love him the way that he loves us. So we have to ask the simple question, do we even want to do that? It's really what we're created for. We're created in the image and likeness of God who is love, so we're made to love and be loved. We're only going to be fulfilled in love. And the only perfect love comes from God. And as we've talked about many times, for those of you especially who are married, if you want to love your spouse more, you have to love God more. The love has to come from him and then go through us to those around us. If you want to love your children more, you have to love your spouse more. Because that's the order of it. Sometimes we get all that backwards. So it all has to start with that point of loving God. So something that all of us need to look at and look at really, really seriously. Because it wasn't just to Peter that that question is asked. Maybe we might think that we could sit back and go, oh, thank goodness that was Peter and not me. You have to ask yourself, first of all, if you were told it is the Lord, what would you do? Would you jump into the water and go to see him? We don't even come and see him in the Blessed Sacrament. Why would we care? How much do we really love him? So it is to us that question is being asked. Yes, it was asked only to Peter 2,000 years ago. It's been asked to every other person who has professed their faith in Jesus ever since. So now it's our turn. Do you love me? Is his question to each and every one of us. And that question he is asking in the depths of our heart, not in our head, in our heart. So as we continue with Mass, as we celebrate the death and the resurrection, as he shows his absolute and perfect love for us and gives himself entirely to us in the Holy Eucharist and says, I love you, ask yourself now, what's my response? What am I going to say to him in response to what he is saying to me? You're not going to hear it in your ears. He speaks it in your heart. And it is from there that he is looking for a response. So he says, I love you. And then he asks the question, do you love me?